Okay, we'll bring the Mining and Outdoor Recreation Policy Committee to order. Representative Johnson moves the minutes from yesterday. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Members, we got a number of bills to get through today. A couple that were left over from yesterday. The chair will move House File 3382. And we're moving Environment Finance. Representative McNamara's committee is where this is going to go. I'll just explain the bill briefly. This is the National Wild Turkey Federation came to me a number of years ago and wanted this legislation. It was to create a turkey stamp, much like the pheasant stamp, duck stamp, trout stamp, walleye stamp, all those things, and it creates a dedicated account, puts money in the account that was supposed to go for transplanting turkeys and for turkey habitat, etc. Well, and I think we all know that it's done its job. It's done a very, very good job of transplanting turkeys around the state. The only place that turkeys were down by Whitewater State Park when I first wrote this legislation, and they've been transplanted all over the state. It's done its job. It's time to get rid of it. So I have been talking to the National Wild Turkey Federation, and they're going to come up with a plan for the remainder of the money that's in the account, and it's going to be a wild turkey habitat project. So we'll add that on as the bill is moving through the process. But for right now, we're going to eliminate the program, and it's going to reduce the price of the wild turkey license to, by $5. So any, oh, I'm sorry, first of all, any questions from the committee members? Representative Russo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a congratulations. You've done such a good job. Turkeys are actually a traffic hazard in my suburban district now.
Well, I've been afraid of being accused of creating some problems.
Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
Members,
please state your name and who you represent for the
record. Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. And while we do understand the intent of your bill, we do have some concerns about the work that will not get done related to turkey habitat without this funding. And I'd like to have Paul Thielander, our wildlife chief, talk about that a little bit.
Good. Please state your name for the record.
Paul Thielander, Section of Wildlife Chief for Minnesota DNR. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this is news to us that there's going to be a proposed reduction in the reduction in license fees on turkey licenses. As I understand it, would be a reduction of $5 per license for those 18 years of age and older. This would decrease revenues by about $207,000 for the Section of Wildlife budget. And there's a number, like Bob said, of habitat projects that get done with this funding, development, restoration, and maintenance of habitat for turkeys, land acquisitions with critical turkey habitat. You mentioned the trapping and transplant program is over. That's true, but that was just one facet of what we used the funding for, so we have a concern about losing this revenue.
Mr. Thielander, what are you doing in my district for turkeys?
I think we're doing some oak management projects in your district.
Where at?
A Carlos Avery Wildlife Management Area.
A lot of oak trees there already, kind of growing naturally.
Well, land needs management. Like I said, there's a number of things.
Oh, so you're spending money on the wildlife management area. Are you planting trees? Are you planting oak trees there?
We might be doing oak regeneration projects. Yes, we have.
Yep. Any other questions, members? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Representative Considine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there a fiscal note?
This is not the fiscal note has been requested, and we'll have that by the time we get to the Environment Finance Committee. Is that what they said? So the chair removes his motion that House File 3382 be re-referred to the Committee on Environment Finance. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. The bill is on its way. Thank you, members. Next, Representative Lewick. Representative Lewick moves House File 2674 be recommended to pass. And you have an amendment, Representative Lewick?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to
move the amendment, A1 amendment.
Yes.
Okay, Representative Lewick moves the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that he'd like. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, motion prevails. Your amendment's adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very quickly, I know we got a compressed schedule here.
Should we just bring up the testifiers right away?
Yes. Well, actually, on this one, we've We may not need any testifiers. It'll be the next one. But let me just quickly, one of the things we want to do here is simply extend the life of the Mineral Coordinating Committee, which would expire 30 June 2016, extend it 10 years, talk to the agencies involved, and they're in support of that. And then the A1 amendment would simply create an aggregate resources task force. I'll stand for any questions on this, but we'll get into more detail with this next bill, and that's where we're probably going to need some testifiers.
Any other questions, members? There are some folks that want to testify. Jess Richards? Okay, pass. Okay. Bob Kamen? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bob Kamen from Sedan, Minnesota. I spent several years working in the mines, mostly taconite plants in Minnesota and upper Michigan and some out in Montana. And I would be skeptical about extending the life of the Minerals Commission. And I say that because my wife, Pat, and I occasionally go to IRRB meetings. We've heard a lot about them lately. And 5 years ago, when the meeting got a little boring, I got tired of listening to Rukavina. I'd read the mission statement on the wall up there, and there was about four different parts of their mission statement. And one of their elements, I believe number three, was to diversify the economy of the Iron Range, which I fully support. And then a couple of years ago, that mission statement disappeared. They painted it over, remodeled, and I wondered what happened to it. So I looked it up online, and here they completely reworked it. They have a very nice mission statement now, but they removed the word diversify. And I think if we look back to the problems we have in northern Minnesota, it's because of the incredible difficulty of diversifying our economy. Now, we're going to extend the life of this Minerals Commission, there's not much doubt. But I maintain that we have a good deal of mining promotion. As a matter of fact, the IRRB was created in 41, and I wasn't born until 42, so it's been around a while. But if we look at the promoters we've got IRRB, NRI, Range Readiness, Iron Mining Association, Minnesota Mining, Precambrian Research Center, Minnesota Geological Survey, Laurentian Business Partnership, Northern Counties Land Use Coordinating Board, DNR Lands and Minerals, and this committee. And in spite of that, over my working lifetime, we've lost 10,000 mining jobs, and I don't see anything we're doing here that's going to replace those 10,000 jobs. We'd have to do a polymet a year for 30 years to get 10,000 jobs. And so I don't believe that's the answer to our problems having more mineral coordinating committees. If we look at the real problems we have with mining and using mining for economic development, the difficult economic truth is our ore bodies are not competitive. Our iron ore body is 25% iron. Globally, 50% is common. Our copper nickel ore body, less than 1% total mineralization. And so we're faced with the difficult task of competing globally. And now that the Chinese commodity super cycle is over, it's going to be even more difficult. And so I'm aware of the time constraints, Mr. Chairman. I'll just say that the economic evidence is pretty remorseless. Promoting mining is not going to get us out of our problems in northern Minnesota. The allocation we're going to do here with Minerals Committee and the next bill, which I won't bother coming up to comment on, to give several million dollars to the university will create an expanded budget for our state agencies, for the university. I don't see that it will create paychecks on the Iron Range. My neighbors need paychecks, not another committee to keep people busy down here in the metro. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Questions, members? Representative Metzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did just want to point out one thing, Bob. I appreciate you coming down to testify. We are very competitive in terms of the product we put out. We put out more tons per man hour than any other workforce on the planet. And right now, due to the unfair trade that you mentioned from economies like China, who are publicly subsidizing, I would disagree that this is something we should be doing to maximize the remaining life of our current mines, as well as making sure that, as you know, taconite, we wouldn't be mining at all right now without the University of Minnesota. That was developed. What we need from these groups, NRI and others, is the next taconite, the next step in technology. Unfortunately, when we do take those steps, as in any industry, you get to a point where those technology benefits do cost jobs because of the efficiencies. So,
Mr. Chair, I agree with the Representative Metz. The setup cost is important. We have made the investment in taconite a considerable investment. We've got the infrastructure there, and I fully support trying to keep that industry viable, but we can't ignore the fact that our iron mining industry is degrading our public waters, and we have a great difficulty cleaning that up because of the cost of the technology. And so that brings us to the point, where do we draw the line? And I would say we should make the investment in cleaning up the water coming from our taconite industry and recognize that the copper industry, low-grade ore body, is going to take 1,000 acres of wetlands out right now as soon as they go into operation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Members, Representative Lewick renews his motion that House File 2674 be, as amended, be passed and re-referred to the Committee on Government Operations and Election Policy. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. The bill is on its way as amended. Representative Lewick moves House File 3172. And where are we going to send that one? Committee on Higher Education Policy and Finance. Is that correct, Representative Lewick?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and there's an A1 amendment there that makes a...
Representative Lewick moves the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that he'd like. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed. Motion prevails. Two-year bill as amended, Representative Lewick.
Yes, Mr. Chair. What this would do would provide some funding to continue research in some specific mineral areas in conjunction with the Mineral Coordinating Committee. And so, not to belabor this, I would like a testifier here to make a few brief comments on what we've got in mind here.
Very good. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
My name is Rolf Bleeberg. I'm the director of the Natural Resources Research Institute.
I'd like welcome to
thank
the committee.
You, Chairman, for an opportunity to talk about this bill this afternoon. University of Minnesota is a land-grant university, and part of our role in the state is to help the state develop natural resources in a sustainable way, and that's the intent of this work. The first point I'd like to make is that we're excited about having a collaborative framework that we're trying to promote with this work, not doing work in a vacuum, but engaging stakeholders across the state, primarily engaging with the Minerals Coordinating Committee as a key partner in scoping out the work so that the work is done properly and the right data is collected so we can actually implement solutions instead of just create solutions. The mining and natural resource industries in the state are at a inflection point right now. Today in the mining industry, we do a great job making taconite, but we participate in one-third of the United States steel industry. There's two-thirds we can't even contact today. We need to change that to be competitive, another part of the comments from earlier. So that's today. Tomorrow we want to drive to higher efficiency, driving lower costs. We want to drive to a greater value, keep the money in Minnesota, and want to have a broader portfolio. The bill looks at higher yields, getting all the iron out of the ore, for example. Some new technology at NRI allows us to get all the iron out the first time. It's lower cost, higher yield. We want to broaden the portfolio, understand how to make higher value products more accessible, and we have been working with the industry to date. In fact, SDI was in our office yesterday asking for help in bringing new technology to do it cleaner and safer. And finally, the third area we're looking at is in looking at how developing a portfolio of technologies to reduce sulfate in water across the state. It's a state problem. It's a state problem in the south from agriculture. It's a state problem from every sewage treatment plant in the state. It's also a state problem in the north where we do have wild rice we need to consider. What we're proposing is to provide a portfolio of solutions so you don't just have one tool to do the job. You have a multiple tool set to get the job done. So NRI is an applied research partner. We're looking to partner with state agencies and stakeholders to deliver these research solutions. And quite frankly, there's really no one else to do this. And we're standing up saying we need to help the state move forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Anna. Very good work. Representative Enzo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, members, I've I've decided after a lot of thought that this legislation and this appropriation are necessary. And they're necessary because in my time on the Mesabi, while one might expect it to be the normal course of doing business on the Iron Range and extracting iron ore and taconite, that the very industry, the very companies, and the fee owners from out east primarily who have benefited in the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 100 years, one might expect that the companies themselves would invest periodically in this kind of research. Frankly, that has not happened. And back when former Governor Perpich was here and frankly was my mentor, he had the vision to create the Natural Resources Research Institute at UMD as a focal point to coordinate smart, scientifically based research into the viability of that ore body. And in conjunction with the research lab at Coleraine, some private research entities, Midland Research in Nashwauk, hopefully some good can come out of this. You've heard me say in the past that I'm not real big on studies, and I'm not real big on spending time and energy creating jobs for lawyers, lobbyists, and professional meeting attenders. But this is an exception to that. We need this to get done in order for jobs for the next generation of miners to occur, and we actually have a couple in the gallery here today. Welcome to the committee. As you can see, we struggle with these kinds of issues, but I urge everybody to support this appropriation and to support the research that Mr. Weberg will entertain.
Thank you, Representative Anzalt. Representative Luke, another comment?
Do we have some additional testifiers if there's questions? We do have support from the mining associations, that type of thing, if people have questions.
We're going to bring them forward next. Oh, thank you, Doctor. Frank Angaro. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Frank Angaro. I'm the Executive Director of Mining Minnesota. We represent the non-ferrous copper nickel mining companies in the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Angaro, and if we could keep it brief, we've got 15 bills to get through after this bill.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. We're here to offer our general support of House File 3172. Every industry needs research. The mining industry is no exception. In fact, the industry as we know it today may not exist the way we know it today if it wasn't for university research and Dr. Davis and his magnetic separation. And as Representative Anzalt appropriately pointed out, this is exactly what Governor Perpich envisioned, applied research to help sustain the long-term viability of the mining industry when he created the NRRI, and we believe the NRRI is the best opportunity for getting that research done. We don't offer the support without concerns over how the University of Minnesota has handled studies in the past and the lack of coordination. All you have to do is look this year to the LCCMR request and see the DNR with its own request for studying mining, University of Minnesota Civil Engineering having a separate request for looking at sulfate, and yet another University of Minnesota entity looking at studying sulfate that's separate from all of the above. So in addition to these funds being directed with the author's amendment directly to the NRRI, as well as the requirement to coordinate through the Minerals Coordinating Committee so that we know the dollars getting spent are helping industry long-term research, we offer support for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. You. Questions, members? Thank you very much for your testimony. Kelsey Johnson, please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Sure thing. Hi, I'm Kelsey Johnson. I am president of the Iron Mining Association, and I am here today to express our gratitude for NRRI and their general purpose. While we support the mission of NRRI, at this point in time, given the bill and the bill structure, we are going to remain neutral. We have a few concerns that we're going to work out, and we look forward to continuing to work with NRRI and the University of Minnesota to mitigate some of those concerns.
Very good. Thanks. Questions, members? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I think it's appropriate to welcome
yes,
the new executive director of the Mining Association. There's a lot I could say, but I'll say it to you sometime when we get a chance.
Sounds great.
Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, committee.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Lewick moves House File 3172 as amended be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Higher Education Policy and Finance. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. The bill is on its way. Representative Lewick. Now I'll turn the chair over to Representative Keel is going to, she's the chairman of the Land Subcommittee, and we're going to hold the Land Subcommittee right here as part of the whole committee and progress with the lands bill.
Good job, Lewick.
I got two here. That's my goal. I just don't mind. Good afternoon. We are going to, I'm going to make a motion to move House File 34001 for consideration in the committee. Kathy Lewis is going to join us now and from the DNR to walk through that bill.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Kathy Lewis, Lands and Minerals, DNR. House File 3401 is the department's lands bill. I'll walk through the different sections. Sections 1 and 4 of the bill concern the St. Croix boom site waste site in Washington County. This has been a long-standing wayside. It was turned over from DOT to the Department of Natural Resources, and so this the bill is doing the formal designation of the wayside under DNR jurisdiction. Sections 2 and 5 of the bill creates a new state forest, calling the Centennial State Forest in Cass County. This is the 100th anniversary of the Division of Forestry, thus the name Centennial. Most of the property was donated to the DNR for use for forest purposes. Section 3 of the bill is a technical change. It's recognizing that when we actually sell very low-valued bond finance property, we can use our abbreviated appraisal process rather than doing a full appraisal. That saves costs to the buyer. Section 6 and 12 of the bill delete a small parcel of land from Mille Lacs Catheo State Park and allows us to do a direct sale of the parcel. This is an expansion of an existing cemetery. And when we get to the DE4 amendment, there is a slight revision in the legal description. Our surveyors went out in the field after the bill was drafted and have an exact description for the property. Section 7 of the bill is additions to state forests in St. Louis County. These lands were acquired in the Zach Zim Land Exchange, their school trust lands, and there's 17,776 acres in that group of lands. Section 8 of the bill is a private sale. It's a parcel in Cass County. It is known as Steamboat Loop. It's part of the Heartland State Trail. And what this does is authorize the DNR to sell it at a value from 1988 as adjusted for inflation. That was when we offered it to the landowners at that point in time. And we would we're working on a realignment of the trail, and when that area is no longer needed because of the construction of the alternative Tower Hill alignment, then we'll be able to sell this little loop of the trail to the landowners. Section 9 of the bill is a public or private sale of a 1.9-acre parcel in Clearwater County. It borders Pine Lake. It has a road right-of-way we'll offer to the local unit of government. And we also will then either offer the rest of the parcel through public sale, or there's potential for a private sale because there is an encroachment on the property also. Section 10 of the bill is in Lake of the Woods County. It is at the request of the county. They're going to take over a shooting range and run the shooting range, and it's consolidated conservation area land. Section 11 is also at the request of the Lake of the Woods County. This is property in the northwest angle, and it's bordering the water. You can see Canada from there. And the goal is to create a public park on the land. Section 13 of the bill is in Olmsted County. It's a small parcel, 1.56 acres, and this will be conveyed to the county for expansion of the Root River County Park. And finally, Section 14 of the bill is an exchange of state lands in St. Louis County. It's all it does is have an exception to the riparian requirement that we exchange riparian for riparian. This is 10 acres of school trust land bordering the Whiteface River. It's leased to Cole College, and we're going to be exchanging the riparian land for forestry land for school purposes. Madam Chair, that's the basics of the bill.
Thank you very much, Kathy, and thank you for being here, the expert on lands, right? Members, do you have any questions of Kathy at this time? Okay, with that, this is the bill. This is a vehicle bill that we will hear the rest of the lands bills from. So we will start with the next bill. Pardon? Okay. We are going to do 2952. Representative Backer, is he here? I'm going to come forward.
Madam Chair, committee members.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for...
We need to move this bill to be laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay, good. Thank you, Madam Chair. On behalf of Grant County, the following comments relate to the selling of the properties that have been forfeited, but it's been restricted from sale due to specific requirements outlined in the Minnesota statute. These requirements address the sale of properties that have 150 feet or more of lakeshore and the need for legislative action in order to put them up for public auction. Allowing Grant County to sell these properties will further the county's mission of collecting revenues from the sale of these properties and returning them to the local jurisdiction to help replace lost revenues due to years of unpaid taxes. It would be in Grant County's best interest to have the parcels put back into private ownership to better maintain and appreciate the unique opportunities each of these parcels represent. The Bear property has been abandoned and is full of cattails and is unbillable currently. Adjacent property owners may be interested in taking over ownership if the property could be sold at public auction. The Elk Lake Township, which is also a lake property, is located on a small body of water, has limited fishing opportunities, and a general limited with recreation to waterfall hunting. The acreage has some potential for building sites located on a peninsula with some opportunity for game hunting due to the size of the parcel. And then finally, the Herman parcel is a very small parcel that is unbillable. Mostly cattails, adjoining property owners may be interested in taking over the ownership if the property could be for public auction. And that's why I would ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Backer. Are there any testifiers to this?
No, just me, myself, and I.
Well, awesome. Thank you for coming. Does Ms. of DNR have any concerns regarding this lands bill?
Madam Chair, DNR has reviewed the parcels and has no natural resource concerns.
Okay. Members, do you have any questions? Okay. Thank you, Representative Backer, and this bill will be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
So we'll hear Representative Erdahl's bill, House File 3015. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members?
Make a motion to move that House File 3015.
I have an amendment.
Oh, you do.
Don't I? Do you have an amendment?
I don't have an amendment. Wait a minute. Okay. Representative Erdahl, it has been incorporated into the delete all amendments, so
All right. We
don't need to incorporate.
I don't need to worry about that.
So, yes.
All right.
So I'll make a motion to move House File 3015 for consideration by the committee.
Okay.
Go ahead,
thank
Representative
you,
Erdahl.
Madam Chair, we have kind of a unique problem in my district. Summit Hills is a housing development in Dassel, in Meeker County. The homeowners established a common interest community declaration agreement, or covenant, in 2005. Only 10 homes were built in the development. There are 82 open lots. Then we have the bankruptcy of the developer, which led to tax forfeiture. The state is now the majority landowner in Summit Hills, and the covenant says that a majority of members must be achieved before any action can be taken. The state is the majority landowner, and the state has no intent or desire to do anything. Therefore, they can't do anything at all with the land development or with the property. All options have been exhausted. We worked on this with the Department of Revenue, City of Dassel, and with Meeker County. And the result is this bill, which temporarily authorizes Meeker County to exercise limited authority as a unit owner of a majority of tax forfeited parcels in the city of Dassel with respect to the Summit Hills development. The authority granted would allow the county to vote with other unit owners to amend the covenants, terminate the CIC, or otherwise prepare the parcels for sale. That's the bill.
Thank you very much. You don't have any other testifiers, correct?
No, just me, myself, and I, as Representative Backer would say.
All three of you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Does DNR have any concerns?
Madam Chair, DNR did review the parcels. There's no natural resource concerns, and this is a situation some of the local communities will face as some of those developments forfeit. That were developed in the peak of the real estate market.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions? No. Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Erdahl.
As Representative David would say it's a fine piece of legislation.
Well, there you go. Okay, thank you. This bill will be laid over for possible inclusion.
That's likely inclusion, you said?
likely inclusion, right. Yes. Possible.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. House File 2859, Representative Hancock, do you want to come join us?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Okay. I'm trying to find where you are. Oh, there you are. No. Thank you very much. We are going to lay House File 2858 over for consideration by the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Beltrami County's list of tax forfeit lands that they wish to return to the private sector. And I don't have any other testifiers. They need stated authorization to do so and would ask for that authorization.
Thank you. Short and sweet. Does the DNR have any concerns about this bill?
Madam Chair, the DNR is looking at five of the parcels with the county. We have an ongoing conversation with the county there, but we are not opposing it at this point in time.
Thank you very much. Members, do you have any questions? Okay. Then, Representative Hancock, we will lay this bill over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Representative Barrett, 25, House File 2599. I'll make a motion to move House File 2599 for consideration of the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. There are two parcels involved in this bill. I do have a testifier, Dennis Freed from Chisago County, and probably in the interest of time, I might as well turn it over to him and let you talk briefly about the two properties. And we can answer any questions afterward.
Okay. Welcome. Please state your name and for the record.
Okay, my name is Dennis Freed. I'm the Chisago County Auditor.
Thank you.
And I contacted Representative Barrett about carrying this bill for us because we have two parcels of land that, as the other parcels are, over 150 feet on public water that are tax forfeit, and we cannot sell them without legislation. The first parcel is in the city of Taylor's Falls. It has approximately 16 feet of relatively level area, but the main area is bluff line on the St. Croix River, and the parcel is unbuildable. However, because the parcel length on the river is over 150 feet, we cannot sell it. And the intent is really not to sell it. The city of Taylor's Falls has applied to acquire the parcel via a conditional use deed pursuant to statute. And a proposed public use would be a possible extension of the Riverwalk Trail, which is runs from, if you're familiar with Taylor's Falls, runs from the bridge north along the river. But until that time, they would like to have it mowed as a small park, possibly install some picnic tables and minimally grub the bluff line to partially make the river viewable. So, and the county is approves of this conveyance to the cities and ready to process the application when the legislation is enacted. The other parcel, and on October 16th of 2015, the Department of Natural Resources said they had no objection to the sale. The second parcel is in the city of Wyoming. This parcel is a little bigger. It's at 3.5 acres. But the Sunrise River runs through the property for over 150 feet in the most southeastern portion of the property. So again, we require special legislation to transfer this. And again, the city of Wyoming has applied to acquire the parcel via conditional use deed. And their current proposal is a use for surface water management. And also this parcel on the east, the county Sunrise Prairie Bicycle Trail borders it directly on the eastern portion of this property. And the city has acquired other property in that area for a future fire hall and city hall, and they're going to be building a water tower here, so it's going to complete the area for them. So, and again, the department has approved this one as well, October 16, 2015.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's our bill.
Representative Barrett.
That's our bill.
Okay. Kathy, does the DNR have any concerns over this bill?
Madam Chair, the testifier accurately portrayed the DNR had reviewed the parcels and have approved the plans.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Barrett. This bill will be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Next, we'll do House File 3426, Representative Lunan.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
House File 3426 deals with a parcel in Scott County that sits on Lake O'Dowd, which is why we're here.
Representative Lunan, just a second. I should probably move this. A motion to move House File 3426 for consideration of the committee. Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you. I apologize. This is a simple matter. This was actually a tee box on a golf course, and the golf course reconfigured their hole to no longer need it, and originally it sold the parcel to a property and created a buildable lot, and that property, the taxes were not paid on it. It's in forfeiture, and it's a taxable asset the county would like to recapture, and so we're asking to allow them to privatize it again.
Thank you. Do you have any testifiers?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Kathy, does the DNR have any concerns regarding this bill?
Madam Chair, the DNR has reviewed the parcel and has no natural resource concerns.
Thank you very much. Members, do you have any questions? Representative.
It was a tee box. How big a property is this?
Representative Lunan.
I don't have the exact footage. I've gone out and actually looked at it though, and the lot, I was told by the city that the lot is a buildable piece of dirt, and so there's a real value down there in an area. Well, right now there's only 35 houses for sale, and so they're anxious to put it back on the tax rolls.
Representative Considine? Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Lunan, we will lay this bill over for possible inclusion.
Thank you very much.
Next, we'll do House File 3198. Representative Whalen here. Representative Whalen, welcome. We are going to make a motion to move House File 3198 for consideration by the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. So the bill is basically a county and city request, and it, to my knowledge, has no opposition at the moment, but given the short time frame we have, I'm just going to hand it over to one of our county folks to explain it in a little more detail.
Welcome. Would you please state your name for the record and who you're representing?
Madam Chair, my name is Ward Ines. I'm here on behalf of the county of Anoka County. And I'll just give you a little really abbreviated backstory for why we are in front of your committee today pursuing this legislation. Back in 1998, the legislature passed a special law which authorized the state to transfer a parcel of property to Anoka County. That parcel was part of the Anoka Metro Regional Treatment Center. And along with that special law, there was a reversionary interest the state retained. Essentially, it said Anoka County has the right to own and in the use of the property as long as it's used for governmental or recreational purposes. Fast forward to a couple years ago, the county and the city got approached by Common Bond, and they were interested in refurbishing some of the existing structures on the property and using those for veteran housing. And the question became, is a nonprofit, we would enter into a long-term lease, the county would enter into a long-term lease with Common Bond to run this veterans facility, does that constitute a governmental use for purposes of the reversionary clause? We went to the AG's office to ask for some advice on whether this would run afoul of the reversionary clause. They advised us that the best course of action was to come to the legislature and just introduce a bill, get the reversionary clause stricken, and so there's no question, open legal question, about whether this veterans housing was consistent with the 1998 special law. So that's why we have on your doorstep today.
Thank you. Do you have any other testifiers at all?
We do not.
Okay.
We do not.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Kathy, does the DNR have any concerns?
Madam Chair, the DNR reviewed the parcels. As part of that land transfer from the original hospital center, the DNR received a scenic easement along a strip to protect the Rum River, Wild and Scenic River. That scenic easement will remain in effect after this legislation is passed, so that protection will be there for the Rum River. And so the DNR has no concerns about the release of the reversionary interest in the deed restriction.
Okay, thank you. Members, do you have any questions? Concerns? Okay. Well, then I thank you very much, Representative Whalen. We will lay the House File 3198 over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Nash, House File 3232.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, if you would indulge me.
Good afternoon. Yes, first of all, we need to move House File 3232 for consideration for the committee.
Thank you very much. I'll be very brief. The request for House File 3232 is a beautiful ditch in the city of Watertown, and it is in excess of 150 feet, so therefore we are requiring the special legislation. It is going to be used for wetland mitigation, and again, it is a beautiful piece of Carver County that we're hoping to put back into wetland restoration.
Thank you very much. Do you have any other testifiers?
Not unless absolutely necessary.
Okay. Kathy, does the DNR have any concerns regarding this?
Madam Chair, there's no concerns from the DNR.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions at all? Okay. Well then, Representative Nash, we will lay House File 3232 over for a possible inclusion.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Representative Lewick, do you want to join us for House File 3201? Welcome, Representative Luque.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 3201 has to do with some technical changes to...
Well, we should make a motion to move it for consideration.
I would so move, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Go ahead, Representative Luque.
House File 3201 is some technical changes to the process and provisions for sale and exchange of state lands. So we do have a testifier here if we need that. I'll defer to our friend from the DNR here and get the general DNR's take on this. But it's been discussed with the other agencies prior to this.
Okay. So. Kathy, does the DNR have any concerns regarding this bill?
Madam Chair, the DNR does not have concerns. It does two things. It basically looks at the issue when we do land sales that we're making very clear that the recording fees and deed tax are paid by the buyers. There actually was some legislative change in last session that actually also addresses that issue, but language does not hurt. The other provisions of the bill changes what's known as the expedited land exchange law, and the expedited land exchange law was first adopted in 2008. It was an outcome out of a forest fragmentation committee that was led, a bipartisan committee led by Senator Saxhog, and they identified what can we do to speed up exchanges of land between governmental entities to reduce the cost for forest management. The law actually has not been used, and there's been basically two reasons. One is that the school trust lands were not included, so the language in this bill would include the school trust lands. And then the other provision that has impacted the decision to use the law has been that we put in a reversionary clause that said you could not, once you did the exchange, you did not move forward with another transfer the lands for 40 years. Because the idea at that time was we want to exchange the land, we keep them in place, you manage the forest. And what has happened in reality is that a lot of the local units of government want to be able to exchange the lands and then be able to sell some of those lands. And so the language in the bill was actually drafted by DNR last year but not brought forward at that time. And to address those two concerns that was brought forward by the local units of government in particular in wanting to do these land exchanges.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis. Oh, Representative Uroso, do you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 3, line 3.6, why are we eliminating the requirement to consider the timber value?
Question to Ms. Lewis, or?
Well, to whoever knows the answer to that question. Thank you.
Ms. Lewis.
Madam Chair, Representative Russo, it's not a requirement that we actually not look at the timber value. It's that it's not required to be a separate calculation. And what has happened is that we identify the timber value. It's provided to the people who are doing the valuation, and it's considered as determination of highest and best use. So it is looked at, but it's not required to be a separate value that's put in the calculation for the value if it's not appropriate to do so.
Representative Russo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That didn't clarify it for me. So previously it said merchantable timber value must be determined and considered. Now it will say merchantable timber value should be considered. So why are we changing from must to should? That's my question.
Madam Chair?
Ms. Luce.
The identifier is that we will look at timber value, but and it's considered as part of it, but it does not have to be actually determined by the foresters. So if you go out in the field, the classification of how the merchantable timber is valued by the foresters can be quite a difficult chore if you have to send them out in the field, and you can do some work in the office and looking at the maps and looking at the information.
Representative Russo. Thank you, Madam Chair. So it's because of the difficulty of doing it currently that it's changing from must to should? Is that what I heard?
Ms. Lewis?
Madam Chair, I would portray it more as this is a part of looking at how can we expedite the valuation process and determine if it's it is an important value to assess on the property. Some of the properties do not have a lot of timber, and it's not a value that you should spend the time assessing. So it's identifying some discretionary action for the commissioner. That's the change.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Okay. Members, anyone else have a question? I think you, Representative Metza, did you have a question?
You're done. Anymore.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, then, Representative Lewick, I think we're ready to lay this bill, 3201, over for possible inclusion in the lands bill.
Thank you. I would so move, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lewick, can we do your next piece also, House File 2463? I have the right
yes,
number.
Madam Chair. That would be House File 2463, I believe.
Yes.
Madam Chair and members of the committee.
We need to move it. Move House File 2463 for consideration of the committee.
This bill was brought to me by Crow Wing County in conjunction with the City of Baxter. It involves three parcels, one in the City of Baxter, 9.6 acres. It has a small tributary that transits it, which requires obviously state approval. City of Baxter poses no objection to this, and it's determined it in the best interest of the community to get this back on the private sector. Second parcel is a very tiny 0.24 acres of land on the edge of a small lake in Deerwood Township, and that best use for that is to offer it for public sale. Got no objection from Deerwood Township. And the third parcel is 40 acres with about 240 feet of frontage on a small unnamed lake in Bay Lake Township, forfeited in 1943, and again, the township has no imposed no objection to putting this back on private hands, and that fits with the county's long-term land plans to get those three parcels back into private ownership.
Okay. Ms. Lewis, does Minnesota DNR have any concerns over this bill?
Madam Chair, DNR has reviewed the parcel, has no concerns.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions? Okay. Representative Lewick, House File 2463 will be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you. Okay. Representative Hackworth, are you going to take care of Representative Baker's bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move House File 3418 for possible inclusion.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Lewis can explain the bill. 3418.
Okay. Ms. Lewis?
Madam Chair, the Kaneohe County parcels came in just real quickly. Real recently, we did review the parcels, and we had no concerns about the bill.
Okay. Members, do you have any questions? Okay. Then House File 3418 will be laid over for possible inclusion. It's sitting in front of me.
And Madam Chair, I'd also move House File 3078 for possible inclusion.
Thank you very much. And would you like to represent the bill?
Ms. Lewis, could you say a few words about House File 3078? Cass County.
Madam Chair, DNR reviewed the parcels for Cass County. Some of them obviously are bordering public water. We have no concerns for any of the parcels.
Okay. Does DNR, you already said that. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Seeing none, House File 3078 will be laid over for possible inclusion. And we go Representative Anzell's House File 2837. Would you like to move this?
Madam Chair, thank you. I'll move 2837. And this bill is from Itasca County. It is a request for three sales of tax forfeited land, two of which border public water. I believe they are in unorganized townships. Perhaps you can help me out there.
Ms. Lewis?
Madam Chair, the DNR has reviewed the parcels. I can go pull my notes to see if they're in unorganized townships. I don't know that off the top of my head. But we have finished the reviews and we have no concerns.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So then, and members, do you have any questions? Okay. With that, we will lay House File 2837 over for possible inclusion.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Representative Eklund, would you like to move House File 2855?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'd like to move House File 2855.
Welcome. Go ahead, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's three parcels in this bill that do not border public water. There's two parcels that do border public water. And there's two parcels that are bordering public water that Lake County feels would be best exchanged for private land.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lewis, does the DNR have any concerns?
Madam Chair, the DNR has reviewed the parcels. And we do not have any concerns. The exchange is just accepting it from the riparian restrictions of the land exchange law, just like DNR has one of those too. And so we have looked at the parcels and we understand the proposal and we have no concerns.
Well, thank you very much. Members, do you have any questions? Okay. Representative Eklund, then House File 2855 will be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And House File 3238, Representative Metza, come join us. Would you like to move your bill?
Yes, for possible inclusion.
That would be great.
Well, this was non-controversial up until I took Tom Mercavina's house away from him. With a small amendment. I hope that's not an issue. No, I'm kidding.
I'm surprised he's not here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Representative.
For brevity, we did take some changes from previous legislation, seeing as you were going to be carrying the lands exchange bill. So this does have most of the St. Louis County changes incorporated with the land as well in sections 1 and 2 and 3, essentially we extend sunset by 2 years, specifically in section 3. In section 4, we're essentially making a first option, which would allow the lots to be buildable that the county had opened up on some tax forfeited land, allow them to be, I guess, little slices kind of in between, put up for sale to make septics and other things available to build on these parcels. In section 5, we are addressing some constitutional issues that regard around peat, and it's designed essentially to make sure we're in compliance should some of the exchanges go through around the SACSM. And then in section 6 through 8, essentially, it opens up about 40 different parcels with the typical changes that we discuss in this. So,
I
believe that they are DNR's reviewed and fine with all the changes and requests.
Ms. Lewis?
Madam Chair, DNR has reviewed the parcels. We did identify, when we were doing the review, we had a time situation, and so we identified that we had asked for easements to protect trout streams on seven of the parcels, and that didn't make it into the language in the original bill, but it is in the DE4 amendment of the bill. And so with those changes, the DNR has no concerns.
Okay, thank you. Members, do you have any questions? Well, then, House File 3238 will be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. That leaves us with the DE4 amendment. Good job, you guys. So we need to make, I'll make a motion to bring House File 3401, DE4 amendment, before the committee. And then... Ms. Lewis, would you help us walk through that, please?
Certainly, Madam Chair. I can. What I will do is identify where the parcels originate from for each of the sections, and there's only two items that you have not seen already. Section 1 of the bill is from the DNR, likewise Section 2. Sections 3 and 4 are from House File 3201, Lewick's bill. Section 5 of DE4 is from DNR bill, the valuation of the bond finance property. Sections 6, 7, and 8 are from Representative Lewick's bill 3201, which concerns the expedited land exchange law. Section 9 and 10 of DE4 are from the Representative Metz's bill from St. Louis County, House File 3238. Section 12 of DE4, the St. Croix boom site, is from the DNR bill. Section 13, the Centennial State Forest, is from the DNR bill. Section 14, the Mille Lacs Cathio State Park, is from the DNR bill. For subdivision 1. Subdivision 2 of Section 14, I'm on page 7, line 12 of DE4, is new language you have not previously seen. This comes from Representative Fabian. He is asking that this privately owned property that's located within the boundary of Zippel Bay State Park be removed from the boundary of Zippel Bay State Park. Section 15 of the bill is from the DNR. That's the lands from the Zach Zim Land Exchange. Section 16 is House File 3198, Anoka County. Section 17 and 18 are from Representative Hancock's bill, House File 2858. Section 19 is from House File 3232. Section 20, the Cass County sale, is a DNR parcel, the one in Steamboat Loop. Sections 22 and 23 of DE4 is from House File 2599. Section 24 is from DNR. Section 25, Crow Wing County, is from House File 2463. Section 26, Grant County, is from House File 2952. Sections 27, 28, and 29 are from House File 2837. Section 30 is from House File 3418. Section 31, you have not seen. It's on page 18, starting with line 25. This is a tax forfeited parcel in Kitson County. It comes in at the request from Representative Fabian. The DNR has reviewed the parcel. It's a 7.46 acre parcel. The DNR has no concerns. Section 32, 33, 34, 35, and 36 are from House File 2850. Five, and we reviewed that. Section 37 is from the DNR bill. Section 38 is from the DNR bill. Section 39 is Meeker County. That's from House File 3015. Section 40, Mille Lacs, that's the DNR with the cemetery. Section 41 is Olmsted County, that's from the DNR bill. Section 42, the exchange of state land in St. Louis County, is from the DNR bill. Section 43, St. Louis County, and the next several sections are from House File 3238, Representative Metz's bill. And in Section 45 and 46, there's new language in paragraphs B regarding the conservation easements to protect the trout streams that I mentioned previously. Section 47 is also from Representative Metz's bill, St. Louis County. Section 48, Scott County, is from House File 3426. And as written, often the effective date is day after final enactment so that the DNR and the counties can proceed with the sales to the citizens of Minnesota and elsewhere. That's the DE4 amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Luz. Ms. Taylor, did you have anything to add to this? Okay. Thank you. Members, do you have any questions at all? Representative Hacker, Chair Hackrath.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. It's a very non-controversial bill. That's the way we like to keep the lands bill. I think it's a good bill to pass, and thank you, Representative Keel, for carrying the bill. And thank you, Ms. Lewis. Another excellent job. Thank you.
Yes.
Our thanks as well.
Thanks. I wonder, do you know where you can pin it on a map, right? It impresses me. So you couldn't get in the car and drive?
No. Couldn't get that.
Thank you. You're very good at this, boy. Okay. So we need to adopt the House File 3401 DE4 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Motion carried. All right. Okay. And then we need to just refer this to the committee. House File 3401 as amended will be sent to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, Policy and Finance. So, and
aye.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. We got. You got to deal with rookies. Sorry, guys.
You did a good job.
Great job.
So, motion carries, and I believe with that we are adjourned.
Madam,
here we go.
Oh, excuse me, Representative.
We're Metha. Adjourned.
I beat her to the hit.
Yeah,
or whatever we call when it hits the gavel.
Yeah, well,
I just wanted to give my new colleague a shout out for going through his first non-controversial bill.
Oh.
The member from Coochiching who forgot snacks, by the way, and promised they'll bring them next time.
That's why we didn't recognize this was his first bill.
Yeah, congratulations, Representative Eklund.
There's no chocolate.
Yes. With that, we're adjourned.